Patty Hall is our scripture reader for today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The reading for today is from Matthew 24, 36 through 44. The day and hour unknown. But about the day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in a field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at any hour when you do not expect him.
Thank you, Patty. Very nice. Happy New Year. No Happy New Year back? Today is the new year. I know I'm a little nuts. We all know that. It's the new church year. Exactly. First Sunday in Advent is the new year for the church calendar. This is when the new year starts over. So forget about the new year of January the 1st. December the 1st is the new liturgical year. I'm going to try to teach you a little bit about Advent today, maybe some things that you don't know. Today marks the beginning of the season of Advent, a time of preparation, a time of going towards the coming again of the Messiah, the Anointed One, a time of great expectation and a time of great anticipation. But exactly what is it that we are to anticipate? What are we getting ready for? What do we expect to happen? Do we anticipate the end of the world, as some religious cults always do at this time of year with their predictions? Are we preparing our hearts and our spirits to receive once again the coming of the Christ child into our world and our midst? Or are we preparing for yet another month-long shopping spree? Or maybe we're getting ready for the 7 to 10 pounds an average American will gain during the season. I wish. Or are we preparing for the traffic jams at the Ross Park Mall and the long lines to get that deal? If we allow ourselves to get caught up in the consumer Christmas, and I firmly believe that in America we do celebrate two separate Christmases on December the 25th. We can easily find ourselves, instead of preparing to sing O Holy Night, we find ourselves living instead one holy nightmare. For the many who faithfully observe the Christmas of consumer Christmas, Advent is the inevitable prelude to disappointment. For the majority of those folks, Christmas somehow hardly ever measures up to their fantasies and their expectations. Even for those who manage to have some of their Christmas wishes fulfilled in their gifts, the season is over so very quickly. But the Advent we celebrate in the church, the one that has nothing at all to do with the number of the shopping days left until Christmas, is altogether different. The decorations of the church, the manger scene, the first Advent candle, all these invite us to dream of a better world, to allow visions that have nothing to do with sugar plum fairies dancing in our heads. Advent invites us to fill the cup of today with a measure of tomorrow, a full cup. The scriptures express the Christian hope for a different and a brighter future. When the prophet Isaiah thought about the advent of God, he envisioned a world unified in worship of God and a world full of peace. Isaiah dreamed of a time when the nations and the people of the world would join together in recognizing the sovereignty of God and declare, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that God may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths." The world, in Isaiah's vision, war was a thing of the past, and the nations of the earth lived together in peace. What sort of images come to your mind when you talk and you think about Advent? Maybe you remember a classic work of art showing somewhere of the journey to Bethlehem, or the nativity scene, or the adoration of the Christ child. Or maybe your traditional symbols of Christmas and Advent are the lighting of the Christmas tree at the White House. Or maybe it's the one at Rockefeller Center. The way we see Advent and Christmas will determine our approach to this celebration that comes every year. Is the essential work of Advent about shopping, or is it more about opening our lives to the coming of Christ? Will Christmas come only if we do the right things to get ready for it, the right preparations? Or is Christmas a gift from God that arrives whether we're ready or not? The message of Advent really is not decorate and shop, but watch and wait. You must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Do you remember the child's game when you closed your eyes and called out finally, "Ready or not, here I come"? Christmas will come whether we are ready for it or not. Christ will come whether we are ready or not. How many times have you heard folks say something like, "It can't be Advent already. I haven't even made out my shopping list yet. Christmas can't come yet. I haven't brought the decorations up from the basement yet." Why do we assume that Christmas can only come if we, as human beings, make all the proper preparations? The truth of the matter is that God's entrance into our lives in the person of Jesus Christ comes at God's initiative and not our initiative. Christ arrives in the midst not as a reward for our careful preparations for his coming, but as a result of the love and compassion of a God. Christ comes to us whether we are ready or not. In the gospel reading for today from Matthew, the disciples are talking to Jesus about the second coming. They want to know what's going to happen so they can be ready for it. Jesus recalls the familiar story of Noah. He reminds the disciples that in the days of Noah, people were living their lives with little concern for God. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying and celebrating, and suddenly in those days, the rains came. Only Noah and his family were wise enough to listen to God's warning and seek salvation. When Jesus comes again, he tells his disciples, it's going to be like that. Life will be going on as usual. People will be doing what they normally do, buying and selling, working and playing, doing the everyday, ordinary things of life that you do every single day. And suddenly, without warning, the Lord will return. And when that happens, some will be ready and some will not be ready. Some will remember Jesus' admonition to be ready for the coming of the kingdom, and some will remember, and other things will have become more important to them than church and God and salvation. And those folks who are forgotten or disbelieve will be greatly disappointed when Jesus comes again. Do you see what Jesus is saying here? Sometimes we miss it. The disciples ask about the timing of the second coming. But Jesus said, that is the wrong question. The question should be, what are we supposed to be doing in the meantime between your ascension into heaven and your coming back while we are waiting his second coming? So it is with us. What are we to do? The important thing for us in this season of Advent is not when Jesus will be coming again, but what is the quality of our waiting? What will we be doing? Will we be looking to the clouds, just sitting back, being our same old selves, being mean to people, being hateful, being backbiters and gossipy, doing all the things that the world does? Or will we separate ourselves from the world and try to have a sense of holiness and looking for Christ to come back, trying to be Christ-like while we wait? Too many folks today concentrate the energy on when is Christ coming back again. They keep doing that, making predictions, and then they become a laughing stock. And then people point to the church and they point to Christians and say, "You're all a bunch of idiots." Well, not all of us. Go channel surfing someday and you'll find at least one televangelist who will gladly tell you in a convincing manner that this is the time that Jesus talked about in Scripture. That the world is going to end any day now and you better be ready. And who knows, they might be right that this got to end sometimes if we believe Christ. But I have to wonder if those folks who claim to speak for God have read the warning Jesus is giving his disciples here in the Gospel according to Matthew. Most often what is missing from their pronouncement of their gloom and doom is a reminder that our concentration is not to be on the future, but to be on the present, on the kind of life that we are living in the here and the now. Jesus doesn't call us to be passive, a do-nothing kind of waiting. Jesus calls us to be disciples, and to be that way, we are to live together as kingdom people, Advent people, active faith. Isaiah echoes that call. O house of Jacob, come let us walk in the light of the Lord. Walking, my friends, is not passive. It is active. Advent invites us to look to the future. But it is most demanding challenge and most exciting promise come in the announcement that the present kingdom is already here also. The incarnation, God coming to dwell in human flesh, declares that the cup of the present is filled to overflowing with the presence of God already. We have the Holy Spirit in our lives. And whether we consider the present to be sunny and bright, fair to partly cloudy, or dismal and gloomy, God sends the Messiah to come to live within the world and to be a part of our lives. Elsewhere, Matthew describes the gift of the season of Advent with a single word, Emmanuel, God with us. Not God has been with us. Not God will be with us. But God is with us right now. The message of Advent is that each moment has eternal significance, that the God of all things past and future things is also the God of the here and the now. God invites us to live in the present in expectation and awareness of the fact that eternal realities can break in at any moment. Jesus can come back at any moment, but God's blessings are with us every day of our lives. And so this morning, Advent is here. And now is the time to look at the quality of our waiting. Are we passively waiting, or are we walking in his light? Jesus' preaching and teaching has been aimed at helping us to understand what the kingdom of God is like. Advent challenges us to hear and believe the promise of Emmanuel, God with us. That challenge doesn't call us to be so heavenly minded that we are no earthly good. And I actually heard a preacher say that that's how he wanted to be. We're not called to be so starry-eyed over the future that we overlook the present and living with God right now. Advent reminds us that God often breaks into our lives when we least expect it. We cannot know the time or the day of our encounter with the Holy One, whether it's His second coming or whether it's just Him doing something special in our lives or in the life of our church or our nation. Neither can we predict whether that meeting will be a joyful experience of forgiveness and peace and salvation, or whether it's a call to us as individuals or a church or a nation to repentance and responsibility or some combination of the two. But we can realize that it will come and attempt to be ready, and we can be actively waiting. So now the Christmas tree is up, or the Chrismon tree in our sanctuary is up. The candles have been placed with the ribbons along the windows. The manger scene is displayed, all so beautiful. And the first Advent candle and reading candles have been lit. It's beginning, as the song says, to look a lot like Christmas. But I ask you this, are you ready for Christmas? I don't think so. That, my friends, is why there are four Sundays in Advent. May God bless you. Amen. Our communion hymn in hymnals 274 verses 1 and 2, Break Thou the Bread of Life. Like to remind you to hold your elements till we all take the communion elements in unity together, and that everyone is welcome to receive communion here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. You do not have to be Presbyterian, do not have to be a member of this church. All that we ask is that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you are a Christian. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, once again we thank you for this day. And we thank you for breaking into the midst of our lives, for showing us a better way than the world, for being a light unto us, for being the Word of God, helping us, saving us, renewing us, healing us, encouraging us. You're so wonderful. We're so thankful that you're in our lives. Help us to draw you closer on a daily basis. And as we receive this communion, the Lord's Supper, may it have real effect in our lives. May it touch us, each one of us individually, in a very special and a very unique way. May it draw us closer to you. And on this first Sunday of Advent, may it remind us that you are already here with us and that we are to be active in our waiting and looking for you to come again in your power and your glory. Thank you for everything, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we do pray. Amen.